Today's daf is Ksubis daf Kuf Tes. We are on Kuf Ches Mabez, and we have four blot left here in Maseches Ksubis, and we are up to Ella Hacha B'Mayaskin, and about eight lines up from the bottom. So the Mishnah had quoted a machlokes between Admon and the Chachamim regarding an issue of Mod B'Miksas, one of the three Shvuah Daraisas, Shvuah Seirechad, Shvuah Sashomrim, and Shvuah Mod B'Miksas. And the question is this a case of Modu B'Miksas or not? Admon seems to think it is, and the Chachamim say it is not. What exactly is the case? There is a claim of oil and of barrels, or of Kadim, and there is an admittance of Kadim. The question is, what exactly is the claim? What was the admitting? So, we had a couple of suggestions already, two, but we rejected those because then one of these shitas in the Tanaim would be against one of the shitas of the Amoraim in the sugya of Tanu, Chita v'Saorim, the Hoda be'echad mehem. We'd rather not say that one of the Amoraim is against one of the Tanaim because the Gemara there also would have expressed that this Tana supports one of those shitos. So that's why we'd rather not say that. So we're up to the Gemara's maskana. So the Gemara says, Ela hachav v'mayaskinan, what exactly is the case of machlokas in the Mishnah between Admon and the Chachamim? To Amale Asara Kade Shemen Yishli Etzelcha. Somebody says that you have 10 Kade Shemen of mine. The Amarle Idach, and the other one says Shemen Lo Hayadra Meolam. Oil, I have no idea what you're talking about. So he totally denied the oil. So regarding the oil, that's Kofer Bakol, there is no Shvua regarding the oil. Kankanim Nami. And what about the Kankanim? What about the bottles? So before we suggested he admits on the bottles, doesn't admit on the bottle, so that would get into the other sugya. But now we have another ukimta. Kalkanim nami chamisha islacha v'chamisha leslacha. I have half. I have five, not ten. So he claims oil and bottles. He says oil zero, kankanim five. So that's the question. Admon omer yesh b'lashad hazeh lashad kankanim. Admon says that part of the claim is on the kankanim. And therefore, there is a case of Modu B'Miksas here. Within the Kankanim, he claimed 10 and he admitted to 5. Umigu deka mishtava a Kankanim, mishtava nami ha-shemen al yidei Gilgul. Once you're swearing on the Kankanim, so we'll throw in, we'll be magalgel a shvua on the oil as well. Even though you totally deny the oil, even though there was kofar bakol, but this is the concept of Gilgul Shvua. You could roll, you could add on a Shvua, even in a case where you're usually not chayiv, there wouldn't be basis to make you chayiv a Shvua for A, but once you're swearing for B, so we'll throw in A as well. And everybody agrees to the concept of Gilgul Shvua. That's a Din D'Oraisa. We learned it out from Isha Sota. When an Isha Sota swears that, or the coin is mashbia her, that she didn't do anything in this incident when she had Yichud, we also say, you know what, you might as well also swear about all the other times in history. Arishalo Satiti, Arusa, Venesua, all the cases that are discussed there. So Gilgul Shvua is a Din D'Oraisa. The question is this a concept, context where we can apply the principle of Gilgul Shvua? So Admon says yes. Admon says he is Modu B'Miksas on the Kankanim. So then we extend it to the Shemen as well. V'Rabbanan Savri Ein B'Lashon Hazeh Lashon Kankanim. No, this is not. This is not a claim of Kankanim. And therefore, Mashatano Lahodolo U'Mashahodolo Lotano. He claimed oil, and they admitted Kankanim. So what? Half the Kankanim. I didn't even claim any Kankanim, the Chachamim would say. And therefore, this is not a case of Modu B'Miksas. You don't get to step one, let alone to step two. And that's the Nukudas of Machlokas between the Chachamim and Admon. Again, it doesn't seem to be a Machlokas fundamentally about Modu B'Miksas. Everybody agrees to Modu B'Miksas. Everybody agrees to the concept of Gilgul Shvua. The question is, what is this Lashon Mashma? Is this Lashon Mashma the claim? Is it Mashma oil and Kankanim, or just oil? That is the question. The major question in the Achronim of Gilgul is, how do we look at Gilgul Shvua once we throw in the second? Is that one big fat Shvua now? Do we look at it as one Shvua? Or do we say, no, it's still independent, but once you swear A, you also swear B? It could be nafkaminas in terms of whether, if A is ever knocked out. Let's say he's pasul, he's chashud on A somehow, would he still take B? So if you say it's two separate steps, so it could be once A is knocked down, then B is also knocked down, because A is connected to B. But if A and B merge, So then it could be even if A is not there, you're still going to make a shvua on B. Okay, there are other nafkaminas also discussed elsewhere, the concept of Gilgal shvua. Okay, so now let's get into the Mishnah on the bottom. The next machlokes between Admon and the Chachamim. Remember, this parak, Chanan has two, Admon has seven shittos. We have mentioned now two of Admon shittos. Number one on top was if somebody leaves children over, if he has a lot of assets, little assets, that was issue number one. Issue number two was what we just mentioned, what makes us. Now we're up to number three of Admon. Haposing Moos Lachasano. If somebody makes an agreement with his son-in-law, meaning he's going to put in a certain amount of money, he's going to give a certain amount of money into the marriage. Haposing Moos Lachasano. Tosa says that the Kala, the woman, is there too. It's done in her presence. Tosas goes to Yerushalmi, Kisha Pasak b'ma'amada. If she was not there, then everybody's going to agree that she has certain rights, which we'll see what the machlokes is with Hashem in a minute. But the only machlokes is when she is there. If she was not there, there's nothing, doesn't get off the ground. Supposing Moos Lachasano, Upasha Lo Asaregel, and then what happened? He basically went back on his word. The father-in-law says, I'm not giving this into the marriage. Pshitas Regel, that's a modern phrase. What does it mean here? Literally, he stuck out his foot. Pasha Lo Asaregel, Rashi has 2 days. Rashi says, Lashon Bizayonhu. It's a lashon of disgrace. V'amar Noach she'eno chash ledvarav tol titch al gabi ragli. It's like he sticks his foot into his face and says, "Here, take the mud off my foot. Yeah, I'm not giving you anything." That's number one lashon of pasha loss a regular, as if he stuck out his foot. Or Rashi says, "V'ani shamati tala osi al eitz eli malite." You're gonna hang me up on a tree. Hang me by my foot. I have nothing to give you. Meaning, says the Pnei Yeshua, what's the nafkamina between the two deis? It sounds like, what if he just has something to give and he just refuses to give it? The second day, it sounds like, Pasha Losa Regel, it's kind of like Ones. And he would want to give, but he says, I don't have anything to give, sorry. While the first day, is saying, no, even if he has what to give, he just refuses. That's an afkamina, says the Pnei Yeshua, between the 2 days in Rashi. Nira Lachara, Dahana Trey Lishni, Ladina Nami Pligi. It's not just a machlokas in linguistics. To the Lashon Rishon Rashi, Afilu Yeshlo La'av, Litein, Veino Rotze, Afilu Achi, Savar Admon, that Omrim Lo, we say to him, Knoso Pator, Mashenki, and the Lashon Sheni Rashi, Dafke Echa, the Ein Lo La'av, do we say that Admon says a Shita, but if the father would have something, we would force him to give. So, let's see what the Machlokas is. This is Machlokas about Pasha Lo Asaregel. So, somebody makes an agreement with his son-in-law, and there is Pshitas Regel, so Machlokas. Teishev ad shetal ben rosha. The Chachamim say that the chassan doesn't have to get married. Well, what stage are they up to right now? That's also not 100% clear in the Mishnah. When did they make this agreement? When did this take place? If you look in the Ritva says after Erison. Because after all, why would he be talking to his son-in-law if he has no specific relationship with his son-in-law? So the Ritva, Achronim aren't so convinced, the Hafla here is not so convinced, but if you look in the Ritva says, I think this has to be talking about V'hayanira lomar tahacha kisha pasak la'achar kiddushin. Because if not, he would be talking to his daughter. He wouldn't be talking to his son-in-law. V'hayna diktani aposik lachasano v'lo ktani aposik labito kidnakad rev gidel. Number one, I think it is talking only about a case where it's after Erison. So meaning, what's the machlokas? Machlokas is, well, does the chazan have to continue and do nisuin? And that's what the chachamim say, teishev achatal ben rosha. No, she sits until, right, literally her hair turns white, meaning it's the father-in-law's fault. And say the chachamim that she has no rights to force the chazan. And Admon, and we pass them like Admon, Admon says, no, it's not her fault. What's she supposed to do? Yecholi hisha tomar. Ilu ani pasakti la'atzmi. If I myself made an agreement, and I committed to something, and I didn't fulfill my obligations, okay, fine. Eishiv eshetal ben roshi. Achshav, sha'aba pasak. Mani yechol lasos. But here's my father. What am I supposed to do? I'm out of it. O kinos, o patar. Either marry me, or give me a get. One of the two. You can't just leave me hanging. And I'm Rabbi Gamliel, Roa Ani es Divrei Admon. And Rabbi Gamliel says, I agree to Admon, that in this case, we don't allow him to stay in this and then marry somebody else. No, he has to do something because it is not her fault. And now we appreciate more the Yerushalmi that Tosas quoted, that this is only when she is there. If she's not there, right, meaning when she's there, the husband makes this agreement, so then you could say, you know, she's there, she's maskima to it, but if she's not there, then for sure Adma wouldn't say, that for sure there's no machlokas of a lo pasak mama duff, even the Rabbana would agree that you don't say, Teshiv Ashatav and Rosha, she wasn't there, she has no idea about this agreement, and therefore it's for sure not on her shoulders, and even the Rabbana would agree that we would force the husband in that case. That is the machlokas in the Mishnah. The question is, what's the shita of the Rabbanan? Why wouldn't we force the father? Right, if the father made an agreement, he just says, Teshev, Achatal, Ben Rosha. Why wouldn't we force the father? Isn't this, we've had this already, what's called Shtari Psikta, Dvarim HaNiknim Ba'amira. We have this earlier, we have the concept of the parents, right, the top of Kuf Beis Amin Aleph, the din of Rav Gidel, where Rav Gidel Marav says, Kam Atenoti the Bincha Kach Lekach, Kam Atenoti the Bincha Kach Lekach, Amdu V'Kidshu Kanu, Heinein Dvarim HaNiknim Ba'amira. So this is the din of Rav Gidel. So why don't we say this is Nikne, he's obligated, and Bezim will force him to fulfill his obligations. Why don't we say that this is in that category? So Tosfos deals with this. Tosfos' first day is, and we quoted this when we discussed this then, about a week ago. Tosfos says that principle is only when the agreement is made and Toch Asukin Ba'oso Inyan, they got married. They remember there was no Kinyan done. It's all by word of mouth. It's a commitment. And Mimela, they get married right away. So the Gemara says, Biyahi Hana'a, through the Hana'a that I get, I'm committing to do this for you, to do this for our children. But that's only Tosas had a daya if it's done right away. Asukin Boso Inyan, Tokate Dibur. And here, maybe it didn't happen that way. And that's why. That's what Tosas quotes in the name of the Rashbam. First day in Tosas. Pierce Rashbam on top. Hadamar of Gidal, Beresha Nose, Amdu Vikidshu Kanu, Hani Mili de Kidshu Miyad, Mitochatnai. That's when this agreement works. That's what we call it a commitment. Ola Acherzman, Vihiskiru Atano, and Bishas Kiddushin. Or later, but they re-mentioned their earlier commitments, their prior commitments. Aval hisnu ata, v'kidish la'acharzman, v'lo iskiru hatanoim. But if they made an agreement without any type of kinyan, and then 2 months later they get married without saying anything, so lav dvarim haniknim ba'amirahim, that doesn't work. And that's the case under discussion here, why they are not forced. The later in Tosfos says, according to the Rabbanan, in Achinami, if the father has, and Tosas also has this day, if the father has, maybe we would try to force. The question is here that the father is not. Father doesn't have, or the Ritva says that with the husband is not here. So it's not, these Rishonim try to put closer together the sheets of the Rabbanan and the sheets of Admon. They're not totally never force and always force. The sheets are trying to put it together, especially limiting the sheets of the Rabbanan of Teshev Achatalbin Rosha. That's what the Ritva says. V'yosanira lomar demari b'dalese osha einlo kalisha depata lo seregas, because we can't. We would try to force him more, but he doesn't have. But we're not. That doesn't mean we're going to force the husband. So, but if he would have, so it could be that we would force. The Chumash only talking about a case of, meaning the machlokas is really, do we force the husband or not? Not focus on the father, because in the Chinami, maybe we would force the father. If you look in the Ramah, in Evan Ha'ezer, the Ramah says that in general, it's not a good idea for a chassan to do any of this, right? Meaning, the Ramah says, in Simon Beis, in Evan Ezer, what's the beginning of Evan Ezer? Kiddushin and Nisuin and Puravu. Right, marriage in general, basic, Simon Aleph is about Puravu. Simon Beis and Ebenezer, it's pretty early. She yishtadel kol adam likachlo isha haguna. Right, the title of the Simon, should always try to marry somebody appropriate. Lo yisa adam isha sheyesh bo shum psul. Okay, etc. And then let's go to what does that mean? You continue, the Ramah says, on that si'if, I marry a woman who has a certain halachic problem, but I do it because I want her Yerusha. She's from a great rich family. So the children are not going to be so ole yafe, says the Rama. Ava balava chishenim psula alav el shenosa mishamamon mutter. But if there's no problem with this woman, but one of the kavanas are the money, or you can say the other way too, the woman's marrying the man for the money, so it's mutter and it works, but it's not the greatest. But then the Rama continues and says that money should never be an issue that they hold over each other, says the Rama. Me, continue reading, let's just find the line. V'im umisha paskul omamon harbi l'shiduchin v'chazru bohen. Let's say there was an agreement, and then there were chozer bo. Lo ya again kaloso mishum ze. Right, you shouldn't cause problems and cause igun and not either marry her or don't marry her. Don't leave her in hanging. Velo yis kotate ba'avur nechse ishto. Don't fight about money. Umisha osakein enu matzliach. This is all the Rama. Ve'ein zivugo ola yafe. Ki hamamon sha'adam lokeach im ishto eno mamon shal yosher. V'chala osa kein mikrinose isha l'she mamon elakoma she'yitin lo chamav v'chamoso yikach v'ayin tov v'oz yatzliach. Whatever the in-laws give, wonderful, great, amazing. And that's it. Don't ask for more. Don't get upset. You know, that's it. Your relationship with your wife is more important than the money you're getting from the in-laws. So that's the Rama. And that's not only getting married. Right, we might say that that's every day of marriage, and it continues on May of the Esrim. To realize what the important things are in life, and that's what the Rama tells us. The Rama is velo yiskotet, right? Not that fight, but we're nechse yishto. Person says that, it's not going to be matzliach, ein zivugo ala yafe. We have to realize what marriage is about. Right, as we always like to say, marriage is based on, right, ahava, but what's ahava? What's the root of ahava? Hav. Hav is to give. The root of giving. As long as the focus is on giving, so then the marriage is going to work. Right? The second that, Rachmana Litzlan, we start looking into our relationships more out of what do I get out of it, not what can I put into it, so that already is the beginning of the end, and Rachmana Litzlan, that's where problems start. Where the focus is not just money, but the focus is in terms of what I'm getting and not what I'm giving. It's all about the giving, like the famous Rav Dessler in the first volume of the Mechtam Elio, where he talks about love is a product and not a cause of giving. The more one gives, the more one loves, writes Rev Dessler. Not the opposite, how many people think. I love my kids, so I give them so much. No, says Rev Dessler, I give so much to my kids. I gave them everything when I was younger, right? When they were younger. I changed their diapers. I stayed up with them. I gave so much time and effort. That's why we love our children more. Right? They do these studies. He quotes these studies that you have two brothers, and one of them lived with their parents, you know, for the first 10 years, and the other one was taken away, and there was no relationship, right? Not just that there's going to be less relationship because they know them less, but it's because there was less giving. And the more giving that could be created, that creates the love, and that applies to all types of love. The ultimate love is the parent-child relationship, right? The Vilna Gaon writes that the place, whenever you want to learn the root concept, the first time a concept appears in the Torah, that's the root of the concept. The first time. So where's the first time love is mentioned in the Torah? The first time. The first time is a parent and a child. First time is Avram Avinu and Yitzchak. Right? Kachna es binchas yichidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak. Take that you love. The second time is Yitzchak and Rivka, I think. Right? The second time is a husband and wife. But the root is a parent and a child. Ultimately, that's the ultimate giving. Right? The parent gives life. The parent gives everything. Right? That's the root, and that's what love has to be. So again, that's what we get here. The Rama writes that even though the Mishnah talks about these cases, Yecholah he shetomar talbin, right? Hopefully, it should never come to these types of cases. It should always be worked out ba'ava uba'achva. Good, says the Mishnah. Masisa delokiyai, says the Gemara. Masisa delokiyai Tana. Our Mishnah is different than the following Tana, who has a different version of the Machlokes. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Am Rabbi Yosib, Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechleku admon vechachamim ala posig mos nechasano, upasha lo asaregel. There's no Machlokes about the case that's mentioned in the Mishnah, where they had an agreement and there was pshitas regel, sheyecholah hisha tomar. She could say, if the father did it, and we might say, even though she's standing there, if the father made the agreement, then everybody agrees like to what Admon said in our Mishnah. Abba pasak alai, ma ani yecholo lasos, what can I do? It was my father's agreement. So everybody would agree there that she has that claim. Al ma nechleku, what's the machlokas according to this version? Al shepaska ki al atzma, where she made her own agreement. She says, honey, you know what I'm going to do for you if you marry me, etc., etc. Right? That's what? That's the machlokas, where she makes her own agreement. Shechachamim, Omrim, Teshev, Ashatav, and Rosha, they're the chachamim say, well, this is her obligation. She has to fulfill her own obligations. And that's why, if not, you don't force the husband. Admon Omer, no, Yecholi Isha Tomar. Even there, she could say, Kisvura Anisha Abba, no sin alai. I thought my father would help me out. I thought he would have my back. The Achshav, Shein Abba, no sin alai. Almani Yecholo Lazos, what could I do? I thought. O Kenos, O Petur. And number of Gamliel, Roa Ani, Es Divrei Admon. So, two versions of what the Machlokas is. The Shidim Kubat says here, quotes the Rashba. Remember, the Rashba that we have on Tubas doesn't go that far in the Masechta. So, if you look in the Shita though quotes the Rashbas from various places. So, the Shita quotes the Rashba and says, two words, two simple words, why this works. When she makes the commitment, and later on she says, well, I thought my father would help me out. Shtika Kahoda'a. Says the Rashba, that's the basis of this sugya. Shtika kahoda. The husband is there. The father is there. Doesn't say a word. So Mistama, he's moda, and he's gonna cover her. Pirish bifnei avia v'shtikaso kahoda. Aval piposeke shalom bifnei avia. This is like the opposite of the Tosfos we mentioned earlier. What if she made this agreement and the father's not there? So then everybody would agree the other way. Everybody would agree that Teshiv and Shatav and Rosha. Remember, Tosva said, where the father makes the agreement, if she's not there, then everybody agrees that Yechol Hisha Tomar, like Admon. So the Rashba here is saying the opposite. If he's not there, then everybody would agree that she cannot say, I thought my father has my back. Only here, why? Because he's standing there, he knows about it, and he knows what her financial situation is. So he's ready. Shtika Kahoda. That's why. You don't say shtika koda if the person is not there. So that is a major sugya also. Shtika koda, just remember one source that we had earlier in the Masechta. We had Tosfos, earlier in the previous Masechta. Tosfos and Yevamos. Tosfos and Yevamos in the 10th parak, Mandav Peches, at the beginning of the sugyas of Isha, the beginning of Isha Rabbah, Tosfos there said, Shtika Kohoda is not a din vadai. If you remember there, Tosfos said, Shtika Kohoda dami, the Gemara said on Peches and Aleph, Tosfos said, Pirish, Kivan de Shasak, Nirelo MS, the Yodeaksas, Sheyesh Raglayim Lodavar. Avalekala Maymar Hodaa Mamish, She Yodea Vadai Shekenu, Kivachu Shosek, You don't say it's a vadai, right? It's a raglayim ladavar. It's a good probability. There's a good chance, but it's not a din vadai. That's shtika koda, which is a din da'araisa also that applies in certain cases and not others, right? We also have the kasav advarim shebalei beinam dvarim. If I don't say a word, so then it's nothing. But we also have this concept. There's nowhere to apply it of shtika koda where there is raglayim ladavar. That if I owe something and I don't say anything, so then it is as if I said something, right? Sometimes people say, we don't answer a question. See, I'm right, right? People argue. So the answer is, it doesn't always mean that way. It might just be I don't want to answer you. But that's the concept of shtika koda versus I don't think that I need to answer. But that's what the Rashba says on our Gemara. Tana. Continuing, says the Gemara, Tana Rashi says that this is going on the Chachamim of the Braisa. This Braisa, this Tana, is now continuing the Chachamim of the Braisa. What the Chacham say in the Braisa? Remember, if the father makes the agreement, then for sure she can have this claim. The Machlokas is where she makes this agreement, and the Chachamim say that Teshiv Eshetal Ben Rosha, Bambed Dvar Mamurim. So when did the Chachamim say that the Chassan has no obligation, Big Gdola? Only if the condition was made by her when she was a Gdola. Aval Biktana, Kofin. But by Iktana, we force. Who are we forcing? And what do we force them to do? So Kofin Laman, who are we forcing? Are we forcing the father, meaning only by a gdola, do we not force, but by Ektana we force the Av to give what she promised, Ifchemi Barle, but then she was just the opposite. Why? Because a Gedola's conditions and obligations are more serious than Ektana's. So if a Gedola says, it should be, okay, by Ektana, we might say that the father's not going to be forced, but if a Gedola said it, and then you have Shtika Koda there, then for sure, so it should be the opposite. So El Amar Rava, no, we're not talking about the father, Kofin Habal. Kofin Habal, Litin Get. If we're talking about a Ketana, then we force the husband to give a get in this case. We don't make her stay high and dry without any future. So Kofin Habal, Litin Get. Period. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Mish Ben Elazar Mish Meda Chizkiya. Chizkiya said the following statement. Kol Makom Shamar Rabbi Gamliel, Roa Ani as Divrei Admon. Whenever Rabbi Gamliel said, I think Admon is correct, and we know there are seven cases of Admon in our Perek, and the first three cases have a Rebbe Gamliel saying, Roani is Divrei Admon. Let's keep that in mind for the next couple of lines. Remember, Admon made seven statements, seven shitas. By the first three, Rebbe Gamliel says, we had all three already, right? Rebbe Gamliel says, ah, I think Admon is right. So does that help in terms of Halacha L'maisa, who we paskin like? So Chizkiya made an unclear statement, or it's unclear to us at least. So, whenever Rabbi Gamliel said that, halacha kamoso. The halacha is, I'm sorry, actually this statement is clear, the next one's going to be unclear. So he said, halacha is like it, whenever Rabbi Gamliel said, 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 Rabbi Gamliel, does that apply even in a Braisa, even if Rabbi Gamliel would support Admon in a Braisa, and not in a Mishnah? Amar lei, mi kamrina b'mishnah, b'chol v'acham shomer Gamliel kamrinan. I didn't make any limitations. I said, whenever Rabbi Gamliel backs up Admon in a Mishnah or in a Braisa, it doesn't matter, we still say that it is, the halacha is like Admon. Let's finish up to Bezer to the Mishnah, and then maybe we'll make a comment about Mishnah and Braisa. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Abba Bar Yirmiya, Beis Dvarim Sh'amar Chanan, Halacha Kayotze Bo. Shiva Dvarim Sh'amar Admon, Ein Halacha Kayotze Bo. That's the unclear statement. Rabba Bar Yirmiya said, we had Chanan, the first two Mishnahs in the Perek, Chanan said Ashita, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I like Chanan. Right, that was the first two Mishnahs. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai supports Chanan. Rabbi Gamliel supports Admon. So Rabbi Bar Yirmiya says the two places where Chanan said said a shita, the halacha is like Kayotzebo. Kayotzebo means like the one who said like him. Sounds like where Chanan said a shita, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the one that supports him, and where Admon said his shita, ain't halacha Kayotzebo. We don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So what does that mean? So my ka'amar. So what exactly does this statement mean? We're going to have three suggestions. Ilei mahachi ka'amar. Is this what it means? Try number one. Shnei dvarim sha'amar Chanan. Halacha kamoso v'chayotze bo. Chanan's two statements, we pass them like him, and obviously we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who supported him. Is that what he means? V'shiva dvarim sha'amar Admon. Ein halacha kamoso v'lo kayotze bo. And the seven things that Admon said, we do not paskin like him, or like Rabbi Gamliel, who supported him the first three times. So that can't be. Why? V'yam Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar, mishmei the Chizkiya. Chizkiya just said, kol makom shomer Rabbi Gamliel, ro ani es divrei Admon halacha kamoso. We paskin at least like the first three Admons. So you can't say this statement means we always paskin like Chanan, and we don't paskin like Admon. So what did this statement mean? So Elahachi Kamar, second try. Maybe this is what Rabba Bar Yirmiya meant. Shnei Dvarim Sha'amar Chanan, Halacha Kamoso V'chayotze Bo. The two statements that Chanan said. We pass in like him and like the one who supports him, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shiva Dvarim Sha'amar Admon, Ein Halacha Kayotze Bo, Hakimoso Halacha Bakuhu. The seven things that Admon says, Ein halacha kayotze bo, meaning Rabbi Gamliel's maskim on the first three, but really the halacha is like Admon in all of them. That's what it means. We don't pass it like Rabbi Gamliel. We don't pass it like Rabbi Gamliel, who limits Admon that we hold of to the first three. That's what it means. Right? Shiva Dharm Shamar Admon, Ein halacha kayotze bo. The halacha is not like the one who said like him that limits it to three. Hakamoso, halacha bakulu. But like him, halacha is like him in all of them. So is that what it is? We always pass them like Admon? but meaning against Rabbi Gamliel in the last four, so that also doesn't work. V'hamar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei the Chizkia kol makom shamar Rabbi Gamliel roani as devei Admon lacha gamoso. Right? What did Chizkia say when Rabbi Gamliel supports Admon? That's when we paskin like Admon. What is that mashma? Amar in where Rabbi Gamliel supported him, we do paskin like Admon. Lo amar lo where he didn't support him, we don't paskin like Admon. So again, and we'd rather not say there's a machlokas imsak. So the Gemara has the third and final suggestion. Ela hachi ka'amar shnei dvarim sha'amar chanan halacha kamoza v'chayotzebo. Okay, that's fine. Right, we pass on like chanan and rechim and zakai, straightforward. Shiva dvarim sha'amar admon, but admon made seven statements. Yesh mehen sha'alacha kamoza v'chayotzebo. Some of them we pass on like him and the one who supports him, meaning the first three. And v'yesh mehen sha'ain halacha kamoza Ella Kayotze Bo. And there are others, the last four, where we don't possibly like him, but like the one who had supported him, but doesn't support him in the last four. Bechal Malkam Shamar Gamliel, Roani Azeri Admon Alacha Kamoso. Where Rabbi Gamliel supported him, we do paskin like him. Enoch Lo. And by the other ones, we don't. So this is now we understand what the psak is and who do we paskin like. Just going back for a minute. So we have the discussion of the Mishnah and the Brises. The Gemara said, even in Brises, the statement applies. Roani. So the answer is, yeah, even in Brises. What's the difference between a Mishnah and a Brisa? So we know the Maisa wasn't included in Mishnayis. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi decided what should be included in Mishnayis, and therefore he left out Brisa. Bra means outside. He left it out. Right, there's no compilation, really, of the Brises, unless you call the Tosefta's Brises also, which were compiled. But that's the difference. We mentioned in the past, the thought of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Hakdama to Emes LeYaakov, he talks about the relationship between Mishnahs and Brises, and fascinatingly, he compares it to the relationship between Torah and Nach, and Neviim and Ksuvim, because he quotes the Gemara at the beginning of Brachas. The Gemara says in Daf Hei in Brachas, in Yonah Diyoma, regarding Maimon Har Sinai, what was given at Har Sinai? Luchos Eilu Aseres Hadibros. Torah Zemikra, v'hamitzvah zu mishnah, asher kasavti elu neviim uksuvim. So the neviim and the ksuvim were given at Har Sinai. How does that work? That didn't happen yet. Not half the Torah didn't happen yet. Right? What does it mean that it was all given at Har Sinai? Right? Abri Abelivi Barchama. Right? V'etam melameche kulam nitnu misinai. V'lachara tamuahu asher Yaakov. Eich itachin sheninu lemoshe neviim uksuvim atzmaha. Right, how is that possible? And the Gemara Nedarim, if Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have sinned, we would have only had Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. Right, so it wasn't even, it didn't exist yet. In the ideal plan, you know, it wouldn't have been. So explains Rabbi Yaakov, no, the point is not the actual stories, but the messages. The messages of all the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim can be found in the Torah. Hafokhba vahafokhba tekulaba. There's no new idea, new message. Yes, we learn mitzvos from psukim in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, Divrei Kabbalah. That's true, based on certain evidence. But again, those might have been alpi mesorah beforehand, and we just connected them to psukim. Right? The Gemara says many times. The Gemara says about in Arel doing the avoda. And all Galana do the Avoda. And if he does the Avoda, he's Bachal of the Avoda. Right? The Gemara in Tainus and in Sanhedrin, I think. Right? So, what's the source for that? A pasuk in Yecheskel. Ask the Gemara, what, until Yecheskel and Ariel could do the Avoda? The Gemara says, of course not. Gemara Gemirullah. We know what Masar from Moshe Rabbeinu. But later on, they were masbechit on a pasuk. So, says Rabbi Yaakov, it's the same idea. Right? It's based on a Gemara and a Rashi also in Tainus Daftes, where Rashi says that, I'll read you the Rashi. Shahachumish hu yisod neviim uksuvim ubekulam yishmach limso min haTorah. That's a key Rashi. Explains Rabbi Yaakov. Midivir Rabbi Yochanan elu lomdim anu ayachas haamiti bein Torah l'neviim uksuvim. Ein davar she'eno ramuz baTorah. Hafochba vafochba dekulaba. Ein shum matzav she'eno kasuvba. Shum she'ela she'eno nefteresba. Ekshira neis purim. What a chazal do? Hama min haTorah minayin, Esther min haTorah minayin. You find the hints of it, you find the roots of it in the Torah, and that is why, what's the last pasuk in Navi? Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi. Because it all goes back to the Torah. We have to realize that. And he says that's also Bryce's related to Mishnayis. Right? Ilfa, remember the story of Ilfa we had earlier in this Masafta? Ilfa says, he said he left yeshiva, Rabbi Yochanan went back, and he says, if anybody could give me a Brysa, and I'll show it to, and if I can't show you where the source for that is in the Mishnah, I'll jump off this boat. So you see here again, the roots of the brises are in the Mishnayos, right? The Mishnahs are, the brises are expansions and additional conversations, but not on the same level of authority, and that's why the Gemara had Avamina is only in the Mishnah and the Brisa. So for this context, at least, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, says the Mishnah. Totally different context. Again, seven statements of Admon, all different topics. Ha'orer al hasadeh v'hu chasam aleha. Somebody comes to court and is being ma'orer. You know, Reuven comes, it's a Shimon. You see Shimon's living over there? Shimon's living in that house? He stole it from me. It's my house. He stole it from me. The only problem is that Shimon has a deed, or not Shimon, it was stolen from me. Reuven says it was stolen and now Shimon's living in it. And Shimon says, but I bought it from Levi. So maybe Levi stole it from you, but I bought it from Levi. And Reuven's like, yeah, Levi stole it from me. The problem is that Reuven is signed as a witness on the sale from Levi to Shimon. That's the problem, right? He's saying, it's mine, but he himself was a witness on the sale that gave it to this guy. So what do we say? Do we say that he lost his zchus? Or do we say, as we'll see, well, maybe he realized that he's going to have an easier time getting it out of the hands of the buyer than from the ganav. That's the machlokas. Ha'orer al hasadeh v'chasam aleha. He's ma'orer, he's complaining about hasadeh, but he's the one that signed on the shtar mechira. Be'eid Admon omer hasheni noach li v'harishon kashi imenu. Admon says he didn't lose his chus. He could say, the ganav is a much more difficult individual. I'm never going to get it back from him. So I'd rather get it to you, you'll buy it, and then I'll fight with you in court. No, he loses his chus, he shouldn't have signed on it as an aid. The Rif has two dayas. What if he was the only aid? What if there was only one aid? Right, so one aid is really, you know, not powerful at all. Maybe the Chachamim there would agree lo ibed eschuso, because he knows that one aid is nothing. Aid echad b'shtar. Right, so that's we discussed that actually in the Tosas earlier in the second parak. But eight is he's an eight echad. He doesn't think it's going to be powerful enough. So therefore, it's 2 days in the Ritva whether he loses. And also, the Ritva discusses what happens if he's just standing there, right? He doesn't sign on it. We know he was present at the sale, and he doesn't scream about it then. So is also that kind of shika kahoda'a? So the Ritva discusses those two issues. Eid Echad and Dafka Chasam, and what if not Chasam? So, Machlokas. Asa Simen La'acher. What if he didn't sign on the sale, but let's say somebody else bought a different property. And and it was the property next to this field. Next to this house. And he signed on that shtar. And in that shtar it said, and it's the field right next to Shimon's field. And this is Reuven. So, and he signed. So when he signs, is that signing for everything in the shtar? So there, everybody agrees, ibed eschusa. Why do you do that? There he's not getting any benefit from it. It's just a derech agav, total other transaction. So there, even the Rabbanan would agree. So even Admon would agree. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, lo shonu ela aid. This only, the Chacham only, they only say their shita, that he loses his chus if he was an aid on it. Aval dayan lo ibn eschuso. But if he was a dayan, meaning, kium shtaros. Remember we discussed it at length in the second parak. Every star has to be verified by dayan. And how do you verify it? One of five ways, the Rambam says. Either you get aid to testify that these are their signatures, or you get another document that compare. Whatever it is, you need to verify these signatures. So the Gemara says, if he is a dayan in the verification of this star, then for sure he doesn't lose his chus. Why? Tani Rebbe Chia, Eina Edim Chosman al Ashtar, Elam Kein Karuhu. Edim don't sign a star unless they read the star. Aval Hadayanim Chosman al Bishalo Karuhu. The Dayanim don't have to read the whole star. They just have to see signatures. They see signatures, they're going to verify that these are correct signatures. So you can't fault him and say he loses his chus if in this star it talks about his field, because he didn't read it. Yes, he has no responsibility to read it. Did they even have to read? Did the Dayanim have to read all the parties involved? Or they don't have to read anything besides the signatures? So again, the Ritva discusses that here. The Ritva says, "V'la'afuke v'nira lomar tafilu hu levatno." That's the Edechad one. Next, Pirish afal pisha lo ra'uhu kulo ledasin yano aval trichen liro shemos vaale davar. You have to look. Right, what does the Gemara say? All they have to look at are the witnesses. The Ritva Eaz, they have to look at the people involved also to make sure they're not related to them. To make sure they're not related to the Edim. They have to look at all the actions and what the Shara is about. They just have to skim all the people. Right? Skim all the people. That's what the Ritva says. Kadesh lo yikamu, bekrovim, labali davar, inami. Right? Or, right, maybe not, but that's the Ritva, and the Ramah discusses this in Choshe Mishpat also, that the Chadchila, the Dayanim, are supposed to read it. What about Kriyas HaKsuba? Kriyas HaKsuba. So the Edim have to read the Ksuba. Many times, you know, at a wedding, sometimes there are Edim that are starting on the Ksuba and they don't know a word of Aramaic. That's a problem. That's a problem, right? As you have to know every single word. You should know what the Ksuba is, and the Masada Kedushin goes through it with the Edim, and whatever. If an Edim says, you know something, he basically knows, he's heard many Ksubas read in the past, but the Edim have to know, exactly, and the Chassan has to know what the Ksuba is about. He has to know that it's not a marriage license, right? He has to know that it has nothing to do with the marriage. It is an obligation of items that he accepts upon himself at the time of the marriage, but they're married even without the Ksuba. And there's an issue to live with his wife without the Ksuba, but if he loses the Ksuba, they lose the Ksuba, they're still married, right? So they have to know what it is, the Edim. But there's no Dayanim in that case. No Dayanim, but the Edim, for sure, have to know what the ksuba is about. Weiter. Asa simala acher. So the Mishnah said, if he is a signatory for the property being sold by two other people next to him, next to this field, so then for sure he loses his chus. Amar abaya lo shanu ela la acher. Avo la atzma lo ibid es chuso. This is only la acher. This is only if he's signed on a shtar of two totally different people. But what if he's buying the field right next to the one he wants? So, does he lose his chus then? So the Gemara says, no, lo ibid es chuso. If he's buying it, to Amar, why? Because you know what he says to himself, ita lo avid lehachi. If I don't do this, lo havi mazvi lenili, he's not going to sell it to me. Why? My istachal amemar, ibayli lemimsar moda. I should have, like, gotten edim beforehand and said to them in secret, I'm about to do this and sign on this, but really, the other field is really mine. I don't really mean it. I should have done that. So the Gemara says, Chavre chavre islay. The chavre de chavre chavre islay. Your friends have friends, your friends have friends. Or the Pasuk says in Koheles, the walls have ears. Basically, there's no such thing as a secret. If something is said, it's going to be found out. Right, the Chavetz Chaim likes to quote this line out of context in terms of Lashon Hara. Right, you think nobody's going to find out. The walls have ears, as we say. Or the Pasuk in Koheles says, I think, Va'of Yolichas Achol. Something like that. That the bird's going to take it. So therefore, he doesn't want to say this, or else it's not going to happen. So he doesn't lose his sechus in that case. Hahu da'asa simon la'acher. Ir er v'shachiv. Somebody did a simon la'acher, meaning he signed on something in between two other parties, and then he was ma'arer. I didn't really mean it, and then he died. V'ukim apuchapa. Now he has an apuchapis going to bat for him. Asa apuchapis l'kamed abaya. The apuchapis says to abaya, Amar lai, asa simon la'acher ibed ezechuso. Right, so Abaya says to him, I'm sorry, but he lost his chus. Right, he signed on this star that was for the next field. Omar says the apotropis, I havi avu on diasmi kayam, if the father would be here, havi torn va Omar telemacharas isi lecha. No, if the father was here, you know what he could have said? I signed and agreed that the border, that one line next to the border, that's his. But who says the whole field is his? You know, I'm selling this field next to so-and-so's property. But how big is that property? It's 2 inches wide. So wouldn't the father be able to taina that? So Amar Abaya says, Shaper comrades, you're right. Good taina. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Im ta'an va'amar tlem echad atzisi l'chademon. Right? Even if he loses his chus, he only loses his chus from a very little property, just the border. So you're right, Abaya says. But the zil havli miyat lemechad. So he says to the apotropis, okay, so at least give him that one thin border. So havila richva didikli. But it was worth a lot. There were these palm trees there, so the apotropis didn't even want to give that. So Amarle, he goes back to Abaya and says, I have another taina. I havi avu unto yasmi kayam, if the father was alive, havi toin va'amar, he would say, chazarti vilakachti mimenu. You're right. It was his. But you know what? I bought it back, and there are no rais against that. He could have said that. So, Amalei, Shaper Kamer, Abaya says again, that's good, right? You said properly. Rashi says, what's the Svara? Pesha Asar, Hu Pesha Hitir. Rashi says, why? Since there are Edim that it was his and it was stolen from him, this person only has a schus in his little border because I signed on the shtar. And now I'm saying, I only signed on the shtar, but now I bought it back. He would be believed. So this apotropis keeps saying things that Abaya keeps saying. You're right. You're right. And Amar Abaya finally exclaims, "Hai man de mukim apotropa nukim ki hai." Anybody wants to make an apotropis, you know, find one like this guy. He knows how to really stand up for the schuyos of the Yisomim. Period. Ask the Rishonim here. Did Abaya not know these claims? Did Abaya not know these claims? Says Tosfos in Amar Lei, Abaya lo haya zachor b'divrei Reb Yochanan, achis kiru hapitropis. He didn't remember them. He didn't remember these claims, because if he had remembered these claims, what do we say? Ta'aninan. We're towing on behalf of Yarshim. That's Tosfos. So Tosfos has a chiddush. Number one, the chiddush is that Abaya forgot. That's a chiddush. We wouldn't usually say that about one of the great Amorim, Abaya forgot. But you know what? Forgetting is part of life. In the Hagdama to the Shar Yosher, Shimon Shkaf talks about this. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu, like, break the Luchos? Yonah Diyoma, right? Why did he just put them away and then get them to do tshuva and then give them the Luchos? So explains Rav Shimon Shkaf, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the commitment that Am Yisrael had left very quickly. Nasa V'nishma, boom, they're dancing around the Egel. And he knows that the Luchos Rishonos are Maase Elokim. They were written by God, which means if we would learn something once, it would be with us for the rest of our life. So it's Moshe, said Rav Shimon, Moshe saw the danger that somebody wouldn't have to commit themselves to a life of Talmud Torah, and they would know everything. They don't have to work so hard. Moshe said, Torah can't exist this way. Hidafka broke the Luchos. Second Luchos is Maisa Adam, Psalacha, meaning human creations don't last forever. And therefore, we're going to learn, and we're going to forget, and we're going to have to push ourselves, and Mamath Atzmo. And that's the only way the Torah is going to stay with us. And that's what would be better. So that Rav Shimon is a nechama to all of us that, you know, forgetting is something part of nature, part of life. Even Abaya forgot, says Tosfos. Right, that's this daya. Other Rishonim are not so convinced, because there's a second assumption of Tosfos. The second assumption of Tosfos is, ta'aninon, we would be towing on the behalf of a Yoresh, even if there's an apotropis standing here. So that's not agreed upon. Says the Rush right here, we're only say Ta'aninon if there's nobody else to be towing on their behalf. But if there's an apotropis appointed, then it's his job to be towing on their behalf. They don't have everybody being towing. So that's a machlokas, Tosfos and the Rush, whether Abaya would forget something, and number two, does Bezdin, do they have an obligation to be towing on behalf of the Yershim, even if there is a apotropis? There are other answers also there. Tainus Shema, Tainus Bari, but look in the Shin Kubetzes, other deus, but we'll leave it for now. Says the Mishnah. Next statement of Admon. Mishalach le Medina Sayam va'av the Derech Sadehu. Somebody went to Medina Sayam. I had a field, and I went to Medina. I left the country for a couple years, and my field is surrounded by four other fields. I come back, and all of a sudden, all the people that own the fields around my field say, hi, how are you? Welcome back. And I say, well, I need a path to get to my field. And each of them say, well, you're not taking a path from my side, right? Maybe you used to have a path on somebody else's side. So what's the halacha there? He needs a path to get to his field. So, he at least has the shortest path. He has rights to that. At least the shortest path. No. Yikne lo derech b'mei amana. Either he should pay an exorbitant amount, whatever they demand, or yifrach ba'avir, or go fly there through the air. Meaning, basically, it's tough luck on him. So the Gemara says, my time at the Rabbanan. Shaber kaber admon. What are the Rabbanan saying? He obviously had a path to his field. So how is it? We're going to tell him to fly there? He had a path. So Amrev Yudam Araf. The problem is that four different people own the fields on the four sides. And therefore, it's Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. Each one of them says, it's not mine that you have it in. So, Yachi my time at the Admon. See, if that's true, then why does Admon say what he says? If it's Amotzi Mechaver, why does one guy have to suffer and have to give it up? So, Amar Rava, here we go. If four people had owned the four properties before, he traveled. And now four people still own, or four people bought it from those four people. Or one person had owned it originally, and now four people own it. So you're right. Lamaise, if four people own it now, then it's Hamotze Mechaver Olav Araya. There's nothing for him to do, and every day he's going to have to pay for it. Ki pligi bechad da'asi mikoach arba. The machlokes is where one person owns all the fields now, but he had bought it from four different people. Admon savar mikol makom de darcha isli gabach. There's one guy here, so the person coming back could say, Lamaisa, you own all the fields, and I have a field in your property. I have a path in your property, so you got to give me the shortest one. That's what Admon says. For Rabbanan Savri, no. Ishatakt. If you're quiet and you like pay me the exorbitant amount, fine. Ve'ilo, and if not, you know what I'm going to do? Mahadrin Ashtara Lamarayu. I'm going to give the star, I'm going to give the fields back, get my money back. V'lo Matzes L'shtu Yadina Badayu. And then you're going to have to deal with the four of them, and then you're not going to be able to have anything. How do we understand this line? Machlokas Rishonim. The Rashi seems to say that it's a real threat. It's a real threat. Meaning Lamaisa, he could say, I'm going to give it back. Other Rishonim, the Chachmi Svarad, the Ramban, and the Ritva, and others say, no, it's not a threat as much as what's called kol zchus shetavu liyado. When I buy a property, I buy all the rights that you have in that property. So if I bought the property from four people, and they have the right to be able to tell this guy who comes back, tough, hamotze mechaver olav araya, so he also bought that right. But it's not literally a threat. The nafkamina could be, let's say those people died, let's say those people aren't around anymore. So is it a threat, or is it more what is a lemaisa, or just a right that he had bought? This sugya, the Gemara doesn't use the words, but the sugya is called kam dina or hadar dina. That's what the Gemara in Yevamis, when the Gemara in Yevamis talks about this machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim, that's the issue. The Gemara in Ahavamina, that the svar of the Chachamim who say, tough luck, right, is kam dina. It's not the maskana, but that's kam dina, meaning once you lost the right originally, you no longer have that right. And that's a huge discussion in the Achronim. What's the svar for that? What's the svar to say, well, I lost my right when it was owned by four people, so I still lost my right. It's lost forever, even now that one person owns it. Is it based on Yeyush, that Trumas Hadeshin has a lashon that is based on Yeyush? Others say it's based on Hefker, Best, and Hefker. Right? Different deus. But that's the sugya of Kamdina and Hadardina. It's not called that here, but that's what it's called in other areas. Okay, let's finish up. Hahuda Amar Luhu Dikla Labras, a person on his deathbed, says, this dekel tree should go to my daughter. This tree should go to my daughter. Azo Yasmi, Palag Lenichsein, what happened? And the man died. Then the Yisomim, the boy, split up all the properties. Lo Yavile Dikla. And now this daughter wants her dekel tree, and each of the sons say, I'm sorry, this is mine. Maybe the dekel tree that Abba meant was in his property, in that property. So it's a similar idea. Originally, the estate was all together, and now it's split up, so they didn't want to give her a dikl. So, Rav Yosef Lomemer, Haidem Masisan. Rav Yosef wanted to say it's the same thing, issue as our Mishnah. Originally, it was all owned by the father, then she had a right, but now it's split up by the brothers. Maybe it's the same machlokas. Amrle Abaye Midami, no. Hasam kol chad v'chad matzi metchile. In the Mishnah, each one can say, well, you push them aside, because it was originally owned by four. But here the dekel is by them, and originally was an estate. My takantaihu, right? What do they have to do? Lisvala dikla, give her the dekel tree. Falahadrav lifla guberesha, and then have split it again, because when the father had it, it was the estate. It's already basically nicknamed to the daughter, right? And therefore they have to give it to the daughter and split again. It's not exactly the same as our Mishnah. Or another halacha, hahu de amar lahu dikla labras. Right, someone says dikla labras, same thing. Shachi v'shavik trei palgi de dikla. What happened? He left. He died. He said the dekel tree should go to my daughter. He died. He left a couple of dekel trees, but also left a couple of dekel trees that he owns in a partnership with someone else. Half dekel trees. So Yasev Rav Ashi v'kakashale mi kakaru inshi l'trei palgi dikli dikla olo. Well, would somebody say dekel and mean two halves of two different dekel trees? Would they say that? Right, and it's harder to deal with that type of tree, and therefore the Yerushim want to give her these two halves. So would a person mean that? So Amalei Rav Mordechai, the Rav Ashi, yes. Hachi Amar Avimi, Me'agron, Yemishmei the Rava, Karu, Inchi, L'Shrei Palgi, Dikla, Dikla. Right, sometimes people call two halves one. And therefore, they would be able to give her the two half dekel trees. The Sharam Tzion Balacha here discusses other areas where we say, does a half mean a whole? Right, 1.5 mishmaras, beginning of Shas. Right, the middle mishmar, does it mean, would you call that mishmaros if it's only 1.5? What do you say mishmaros? If you have 1.5 chalas, is that lecha mishnah? Right, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. If you only have 1.5, is that good enough? Is that as an issue, discussed in the Sharm Siyan of Halacha. Just to finish with the one more Chashuk Echemet, just to quote the question of talking about originally and then something changed, not exactly the same, but this is a case. There was a story, listen to this story, and then Nevet Hashem will continue, the next two dafim will be put up from the last cycle, and we'll finish up on after Yantif. Shela, Maisa Beruvi Shinolo Tinok, Motza Yom Rishon, Reuven had a baby, Mazel Tov, and on Sunday night, Reuven has a baby Sunday night, 20 minutes after Shkia. 20 minutes after Shkia. And Reuven is a Rabbeinu Tam man, Lekula, and Lechumra. And therefore he mouths his son on Sunday, even though the baby is born Sunday night after Shkia. Fine, he grows up, and then he learns, he writes in Litvish Yeshivas, and all of a sudden he realizes that that's not what I'm going to do in my life. I'm not going to hold like Rabbeinu Tam, even Lekula. And he realizes then, so according to what he holds, he had his bris milah on day 7. So do we say that, come Dina, right? It's what's done is done. It's already finished. Or do we say he needs a tavas dabris? So he says, yireh lechora. He says, you might say that there's no need. Why? Because the mitzvah is done on him. The mitzvah is on the father. And b'shaito, the father fulfilled the chiyuv. Right, that's it. And now Benito Nenu, the Avuz Malkadino, he held like his Shita. No, no, Ben Shum Chiv. Right, do you say that? He says, but I'm not so sure. Right, because in Yevamis, we learn Machloka Beshavis Hillel about Arayas and Mamzerim. Remember about Saras Ha'ach. Right, and there it says that each one of them considered the other one a Mamzer. Right, each one, even though they married each other, and the Yerushalmi says because they checked if anybody had this in their background. But even if one Shita had what to rely on regarding the other people, it's considered Mamzerus. So he says maybe you cannot compare because here there's a mitzvah on the father. Mamzeris relates to all of Klal Yisrael. And here the mitzvah, whatever what's done is done. And he talks about these issues. And then he says, what if something is compared to something that, let's say there's something that's really we don't say is kosher. Behefs and Merubah, we say it's mutter. What if after the Behefs and Merubah leaves? Is it still kosher? Or do we say, oh, now that the reason is not there anymore, no, now it becomes the chumra again that he shouldn't be involved. So he goes through this this issue and he himself thinks that he does not need anything more. Doesn't he have Davos Dabris, but he quotes others that he asked who weren't so sure. But that's what that he himself believes that he would not need a Davos Dabris. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But enjoy the next couple of Dafim. They're amazing. And Hashem will pick up with the last Daf in a couple of days.